Abba Father, you
are. Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
I'm going to minister today, continuing in our series about stories of folks in the scripture that we may not hear much or talk much about. This quarter in our small groups and faith groups, we've been having some great conversations about conversations. We've been talking about talking. We've been developing greater skills and practical ways to engage one another in meaningful conversations. And we've been challenged to move beyond just facts and data, but into transparency in our communication with one another, connecting, building better relationships. My faith group leader, Brad, has been encouraging our group to apply these same tools to our conversations with God, and that's really inspired some great reflection. Conversations with God, also known as prayer. Let me just ask you today, why do we pray? Perhaps I can make it a little more personal. Why do you pray? Why do you pray? Why do you talk to God? Why do you listen to Him? In his book entitled Didn't See It Coming, author Cary Nuoff observe this about typical prayers. We often will inquire, what's God done for me lately? What's Christ going to give me next? He goes on to explain, it's so easy to love the gift more than we love the giver, which explains why many Christians grow disillusioned and walk away, because to them it's about the gifts, not the giver. I like the way he pens these words. God as a vending machine is bad theology, especially when you drop your dollar in and the candy bar doesn't come out. Even as a Christian, I can say that my prayer life and my overall life, I can let my prayer life and my overall life quickly become my kingdom come, my will be done. And then he writes this, if you're not sure about that kind of focus and that kind of prayer, hang out at a Christian prayer meeting for a while, because the requests are often a long list of everything we want God to do for us. But telling God those things shouldn't be at the heart of the relationship. Here's probably the statement I like the best. Prayer is not a button to be pushed. It's a relationship to be pursued. Prayer is not a button to be pushed, but a relationship to be pursued. In the story I'd like us to discover today, we're going to listen in on a real person's prayer. We'll listen to a frank conversation with God. In his prayer, we discover this prophet's desire to understand God, to know Him, to develop his relationship with the Lord. We'll look first in chapter 1, verse 1 of the book Habakkuk. Now, before I go any farther, let's just talk a minute about this gentleman's name. Have you pronounced it correctly, preacher? I do not know. I have studied, I have researched, I have played audio clips, and there is no uniform response to how to pronounce this man's name. Since he lived roughly 2,600 years ago, we can't ask him for correct pronunciation. So I'm going to choose one, and I'm going to try to stick with it. Habakkuk 1:1. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. That's what it tells us about the story. It was probably written about 625 to 600 BC, just before the fall of Assyria and the rise of Babylon. Practically nothing is known about Habakkuk. He illuminates little of his personal life in his own writing, and the rest of the Old Testament is silent concerning him. Here's something that might help us to remember his name, is that his name, the root means embrace, or even ardent embrace. In modern terms, maybe we think about him as big hug. Habakkuk. As a prophet, he's different from the others. His short book is not just a recordings of things from God to the people as much as it's his own conversations with God. When I think about Habakkuk, I think about this guy, ardent embrace, big hug. In my mind, I begin to generate people who are bigger than life. Have you met these kind of people? Folks who come into the room and you know they're there. They light up the place. They are passionate about life and all things they do. They have opinions. How do you know? Because they tell you. They are outspoken. They are laughing. When they laugh big. When they cry, they're sobbing and weeping. Big hug, Habakkuk. That's what I think about when I think about him, a big guy with a big voice, hearty greetings, a dramatic character. He's a little bit unique in Scripture because when he understands God, when he appreciates what the Lord is doing, he doesn't just accept the words of God unconditionally. Instead, he enters into this dialogue with God and he asks some difficult questions of God. You see, the man was troubled and perplexed by life. He found it difficult. He saw some inequalities in life and in his experience, and he couldn't bring those together with his expectations of God. And so these two things, these two differences, Habakkuk is challenged by what he sees as these inequities. And he's got this sense. He understands humanity's sinfulness, and he understands God's holy nature. And so he's surrounded by the sin and he's unhappy because God isn't doing anything about it. And so Habakkuk begins his prophecy by complaining. And so that's how we'll enter the story, into his first complaint in verse 2 of chapter 1. Here's the beginning of his complaint. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? Calling, texting, emailing, instant messaging, no response. How long? You do not listen. Violence is everywhere, he said. I cry, but you don't come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Can you hear the big, dramatic, passionate nature of this man? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, he writes, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. Old Big Hug doesn't hold back. His complaints are straight out of the gate. Right opening up, he starts out, let me talk to you, God. I got some things on my mind. And it complains in detail. Verse number 4, he says this, the law has become paralyzed. And there's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Now, when he talks about the law, he's not talking about structured government like you and I would consider today. He's referencing Moses' law, the Torah, or the first five books of Scripture, if you will. So the Scripture, the law of God, is paralyzed. There's no justice. So what he's saying is this, the evil that he's complaining about is not surrounding unbelieving peoples or surrounding nations that don't know anything about the Lord Jehovah. What he's complaining about is his own folks. He's complaining about wickedness among the Israelites. Here's his gripe. People who know better but are living less. Well, that's disappointing. That's frustrating. That's aggravating. And if you're a bigger than life person like Habakkuk, you can begin to understand his complaints. Perhaps you and I could even relate to that personally. We better not raise our hands. Any ever dealt with Christians who were misbehaving? You know, folks that by their name tag should be righteous, but doing wrong things. People who should know better, but they're living less. You know, Habakkuk's complaint just might be like our own. His story might be similar to our story. And in his disappointment and in his frustration, if we find ourselves in the same place, he might be one of us. And what did he do with his frustration? Habakkuk took his frustration to God. He complained directly to the Lord of glory. He said, "Do I have to forever deal with these evil deeds? Why must I watch the misery? Wherever I look, there's destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people just arguing and fighting." There's this tension in his voice. "Lord, do you even see what is going on here? What are you going to do about all of this wickedness? Are you doing anything at all right now?" Fundamentally, Habakkuk wants to know, "God, are you aware and are you active?" At the heart of his complaints, do you really know what's happening? And are you doing anything about it? Perhaps you and I can relate to those questions as well. When he takes his complaints to God, what does God have to say? In verse number 5 of chapter 1, the Lord replied like this, "Look around at the nations, Habakkuk. Look and be amazed. I am doing something in your own day. Something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it." I want you to notice something. When the Lord responded, he didn't say, "Habakkuk, stop it with the complaining, will you? Lay off the drama, pal." God doesn't say that. He doesn't correct his observation. He doesn't say, "Hey, the people are fine. You missed the point." God doesn't say that. And God doesn't say, "Don't come to me with your complaints." But the Lord begins to give an answer. He says, "I'm doing something even now. You wouldn't believe what I'm doing." Verse number 6, "I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They're going to march across the world and conquer other lands. They're notorious for their cruelty to do whatever they like. On they come, all bent," verse 9, "on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand." So the Lord responds to the complaints of Big Hug, and he lets him know, "Absolutely, Habakkuk, I see the mess. Though you don't see my response right now, I've already set in motion my solution. You need to watch for it. Yeah, the victory is on its way. It's coming. And just so you know, Habakkuk, I'm going to use the Babylonians to fix the problem that you notice." Now that is an unexpected solution right there. All right. Babylon, brutal, godless peoples. The Lord himself twice calls them cruel and violent. And God is going to use Babylon to fulfill his purpose? That's what God's going to do? Godless people working on God's behalf? Well, that's crazy. That's a bit wild. And it's confusing to Habakkuk. And so what does Big Hug do when he's confused by God's response? Well, he complains some more. Chapter 1 and verse 12, he goes back to God. Oh, my God, my Holy One, you are eternal. Surely you do not plan to wipe us out. Oh, Lord, our rock, you've sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. Look at verse 13. But let me remind you something, God. You're pure. You can't stand the sight of evil. And then are you going to be silent now when the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? The Lord said, look around, Habakkuk. You're going to be amazed at what I'm doing. This isn't what Habakkuk thought was going to be amazing. Amazing deliverance is one thing. By the Babylonians, I am not amazed by that, God. Surely you're not, they are far worse off than us. I know, I started out by complaining about all these people that ought to know better and they're living less. I get it, but the Babylonians, really? You're going to bring that wicked mess to judge us. They're worse than we are. He complains to God. Unbelievable. Holy God, why are you doing that? Lord, I know we've got problems, but they have way more problems. So Habakkuk says to the Lord, I do not understand your methods. And I got to admit, I can see Habakkuk's point. I mean, think about it. I mean, imagine such a person or a group of people, if that should exist in your mind, who are despicable. Somebody that has been vile or destructive or harmful in your life. Or a group or a situation or a circumstance that has been devastating. Imagine such a person, and can you believe, could you believe, that God would use that person, those peoples, to bring victory in your life. I don't know about you, but I think I would be with old Big Hug. And the method to me would be baffling. Of all the things that the great Creator could do, this is the way He's going to fix this problem. No wonder Habakkuk complained to the Lord. I feel like I would probably do the same. And then he concludes his second complaint. In chapter 2 and verse number 1, Habakkuk says this, I'm going to climb up to my watchtower. I'm going to stand at my guard post. And there, I'm going to wait to see what the Lord says and how He will answer my complaint. I think that's an intriguing action. I'm going over there. I'm going to climb to the top and I'm going to be on the lookout. I got me a spyglass, I got binoculars, I got whatever it takes. I'm standing and I'm going to be on the watchtower and I am looking for the Lord's response. I love the expectancy that's in that. I love that he said, you know what, I have told God my piece. He's saying to the Lord, the ball is now in your court. It's on you. I'm going to wait, I'm going to watch. And we'll see. I'm on the lookout for what you're going to do now. And in verse number 2 of chapter 2, then the Lord said to me, Habakkuk, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. That's likely the reason that we have this prophecy today. Verse 3, this is the vision. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end. It will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And then verse number 4, very insightful. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. It lets us understand, though God's ways are sometimes mysterious, and sometimes there's promises that aren't yet present. but the righteous live by faith. Living in faithfulness is a recurring message in Scripture, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New. The Apostle Paul has shared the same message with the Romans and the Galatians and the Hebrews. It's something about the righteous. They live their faithfulness to God. It's right to trust God above self. That's what the prophet lets us know. And then the Lord shared a bunch of verses about Babylonian errors, and then he declared judgment in chapter 2 and verse 16, but soon it will be your turn, Babylon, to be disgraced. Come drink and be exposed. Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment, and all your glory will be turned to shame. You cut down the forests of Lebanon, now you will be cut down. You destroyed the wild animals, now their terror will be yours. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. Proclaiming that judgment on Babylon sent this message to Habakkuk as well. The Lord, by making that declaration, let Habakkuk know, listen, pal, I am aware of what's happening, and I am active in this world. Just because I'm leveraging a situation that you didn't expect, or I'm working through a people that you don't really appreciate, it doesn't signify my approval of them. Just because I'm working through unknown and unexpected and unusual ways doesn't say that I'm approving of that circumstance. I can use any people in any situation to accomplish my purposes. So Habakkuk, you just wait and you watch and you will see. Being on your tower is the right place to be. On the lookout for what I'm doing is the right thing to do. And then the ultimate conclusion in verse 20, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. In the Lord's summation, I am in control. I've got this. Let all the earth be silent. The issue's settled. It's handled. It's finished. In our era, it would say, drop the mic. And that finality, that certainty, it changed Habakkuk's complaints. It's at that point that Big Hug changes his conversation. He releases his passion in now thanksgiving and praise. In chapter 3 and verse 2, the complainer is now saying this, I have heard all about you. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the deserts of Edom. He's in his watchtower. He's looking out. I see him moving. The Holy One is coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. In verse 17, farther down in his praise, he says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, hear the even those today in our story. Hear the even those. Even though there are no positive signs at this point. Look at verse number 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Habakkuk's prayer, Habakkuk's conversation with God, it began with his complaints. It began with his circumstances. It began looking at all the things around him that were taking him down, that were depressing this bigger-than-life man. But now, after a God conversation, after he takes his complaints to the Lord, his perspective changed. And now, instead of seeing his circumstances, he saw his holy God. He got a vision of his great Creator. And so his horizontal eyesight was realigned to vertical eyesight. His human frame of mind changed to a divine frame of mind. And his complaining turned into confidence. His griping turned into he is great and greatly to be praised. His worrisome attitude became, alrighty, I feel better now. It's in your hands, O Lord. I believe in you, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. If you believe that about your God, would you just raise your hand right now and just tell him how awesome he is? Would you just take a moment in your own words, in your own language, in your own voice, in your own state of affairs right now, will you just tell him how awesome he is? Will you just agree with his greatness and power right now? Will you just confess he is almighty and it's in his hands? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So where is our story in Habakkuk's story? Where do we fit in the story of the big hug guy? Come on, let's be candid. Sometimes we just don't know what God is doing. And sometimes, even when we do know, we don't understand. It doesn't make sense to us. That is a human limitation. You read the scriptures, you find Job had the same challenges with God. Read through the Psalms, David had the same limitations in God. Asaph was limited in his perception and understanding. Peter and the other disciples dealt with it as Jesus made his way to the cross and a brutal crucifixion. They knew he was working, but they couldn't understand how he was working and why he was working that way. His methods were confusing to them. And I, just like Habakkuk and you and I, when our story is similar, what should we do? When our story is at that same balance in that place, when I've got some frustration and some disappointment, when I've got some confusion and some misunderstanding, what should I do? It may sound profoundly simple, but it's not always easy because we forget about it. But the answer is right there in Habakkuk. Talk to the Lord. Go to him in conversation. But I'm having trouble right now, preacher. I understand that. Talk to the Creator of heaven and earth. Let him know what's on your mind. Talk to God. When you're confused, talk to the Lord in prayer. When you don't understand, lean into the one who understands and knows all things. Oh, hear me today. It's perfectly acceptable to express confusion and dismay to God. It's okay to tell the Lord, hey, where are you? Hey, where are you? You see what's happening here? Where are you? That's not a bad prayer. That's exactly the prayer to pray when you're disappointed and frustrated and confused. It's fine to ask God about His methods. You're reading His book, and He asks to do this and not to do that. And He says, move in this direction and steer clear of that direction. And in our mere humanity, we struggle with God as His instruction and guidance. It's okay to lay that book out before the Lord and to say, God, I see it. I recognize what You're doing. In our minds, I don't know what it is, but it's like working through the Babylonians. Y'all with me? So I have to tell the Lord, listen, I don't get it. I don't understand what You're doing right now. I don't see how You're moving right now. And you know what the Lord, He may very well say to you what He says to Habakkuk. Listen, you don't have to understand My ways, but you need to know they are My ways, and I will handle it. Let God drop the mic in our lives. Let Him be the final word and the final say and the final confidence. I'll take care of it. He's got answers. And you know what? The thing about God is sometimes He gives us clear answers and sometimes it's just kind of vague. Sometimes He doesn't give us the details. But He reassures with His confidence. Why do you take your complaints to Jesus, preacher? Well, I do get answers sometimes. But frankly, I take them to Him because my complaints turn into confidence. My human understanding gets put on the back burner, the pride of humanity, Habakkuk said. And I'm reminded afresh in the presence of God, the righteous live by faith. The righteous declare, He is a great Creator and I trust Him to handle it. I understand in the presence of God, it transforms complaints into confidence. The Lord is my sovereign strength. Prayer's not a button to be pushed. It's a relationship to be pursued. And prayer makes a divine difference. Prayer makes a divine difference. Would you close your eyes or bow your heads? Whatever allows you to bring your thoughts to the Lord right now. Whatever allows you to focus most clearly on the power of God and His Word, on His grace, His love, His concern. I wonder in the sound of my voice, whether in this room or viewing online, are you frustrated in your circumstances right now? Are you disappointed? Perhaps in a person or in a group of people? Is there perhaps confusion in your life by what seems like God's inaction? I just humbly invite you, talk to the Lord right now. Come on, put into words in your mind and through your mouth. Here's what I'm dealing with, Lord. Go ahead and pray like the big hug man today, right now. Talk to the Lord. Are you new to the Lord? Come on, don't be afraid of Him. Begin to speak right now. What's in your mind? What's going on in your life? Talk to Him in the fullness. Open up your thoughts. Open up your emotions to His response, to His confidence. Come on, place yourself in the presence of God right now. Go ahead and begin to detail, just like Habakkuk did. Detail what it is you're facing. Detail what it is that has you concerned. Bring it to Him in clarity right now. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be afraid. You don't have to think about how it might be proper or improper. The Lord is willing to hear, and it's His desire to manage and to deal with our complaints today. The Lord's working in your life and it seems tough and it seems hard. If the Lord's working in your life and in fact He's quiet, come on, talk to Him right now. Would you stand all over in this place right now? Would you just stand? And if you're talking to the Lord, would you raise a hand or two up to the Lord right now, just surrendering to His presence and to His power? Just offer yourself up right now. Lord, I bring my mind and my spirit to You in this place. Oh, Lord, You know what's going on in my life. You know what's happening in my life. I don't get it, Lord. I don't have it figured out, Lord. There are some things that have me frustrated right now. There are some things that have me confused right now. There are some things, Lord, I got to tell You. I don't understand why You're not handling this. I don't understand why You're not doing something right now. I've been working with this thing at work, Lord, and it is not panning out. I don't understand why You're not doing anything. Lord, in my family, there's some things I've really been desiring, I've been wanting, and it's just not happening the way I've really figured it would happen, Lord. I'm just telling You. Are You aware? And are You active? Come on, people of God, raise your voices right now. The presence of the Lord is so wonderful in this place. There's a lot of awareness right now. There's a lot of openness right now to the presence of the Lord. Allow His holy, divine glory to minister in your mind and heart in this place. If you'd like to step out of your pew and make your way down an aisle, we're going to sing here in a little bit. But before we do, if you'd like to step out into this front area and just reach out to the Lord in another dimension, in a little more bold and public way, why don't you step out of your pew? Why don't you come down an aisle and come up around the front? Maybe some other brothers and sisters, fellow disciples would come and pray with you and join with you as we begin to talk to the Lord. I don't understand everything, but I believe, Lord, You do. Would you like to trade some complaints for confidence today? Would you like to trade some concerns, some confusion for confidence today? Come on, church, begin to magnify the Lord in this place. Begin to praise and glorify Him. If you felt His power and glory working in you, if He's done this for you before, if He's ministered in your life before, come on, allow the fullness of joy. Allow that confidence. I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. There's things to be celebrated in the presence and power of God. Wouldn't be fair to send you home without letting you know how Habakkuk's story played out. Several years after the Lord's prophecy through Habakkuk, Babylon brought judgment on Judah, just like the Lord said. And some years after that, Persia conquered Babylon, just like the Lord said. But in the interim, there were some years where the righteous lived by faith. There were some years when Big Hug stayed up on top his watchtower. No more complaining, but I'm still looking. I'm watching, keeping my eyes peeled, finding me a place where I can keep aware of the coming of God's response. so confident in Him that I expect to be able to view it. I encourage you today, as you leave here with confidence, number one, if you're not leaving here with confidence, perhaps in your own space, in your own time, in your own revelation, will you please take your complaints to the Lord? If you're not leaving here confident today, would you please find time and space to communicate your deepest concerns to the Lord? Our confidence is in Him. The righteous live by faith. Amen.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church. Flows in the Holy Ghost.